million listeners. It's Work On Air coming to you this beautiful 2nd November, and we on episode 72. On air today, beautiful Gospel for Grampian listeners. We've got Erica, we've got Shanaz, and we've got my mom visiting, so she's going to be on air with us today. So today, Erica, myself, and Shanaz are going to encourage you with the big five lessons and advice. So, dear crew, Erica, tell us, how would you like to be remembered by your family and friends and society? What kind of legacy would you like to leave behind?
Thank you, Angelina, precious lady. And thank you, Gospel for Grampian listeners, for this absolute pleasure that we can come together once again, and that we can voice that which Christ has placed on our hearts, maybe also our experiences to share with you, that you might just be encouraged when you listen to this recording. Thank you so much, Angelina. I would like to be remembered as a woman that is totally surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. As a mother, and being a mother, one becomes an intercessor and a worshiper. I believe that when one worships, you come to know the sound of the Father's voice. And what do? We judge in righteousness. We bring the righteousness of Christ to each one that we meet, to the people that the Holy Spirit places on our path. And if I can just mention, while I was reminiscing about this and meditating on all this, yes, if we think on the five, the big five in South Africa, in the animal kingdom, the lion just came to me in such a magnificent picture, because I just want to share what the lion represents. And this is what the lion also then brings into the picture that I would like to be remembered by. In Isaiah 38 verse 13, we read that he is strong. In Isaiah 31 verse 4, he is fearless in protecting his own. And which mother would not protect her own? In Jeremiah 49 verse 19, he is stealthy in coming upon his prey. You know, when you're an intercessor, you are very aware, for as the Holy Spirit leads and guides you in prayer, it is as if you are so close to know where your prey is, and to come and attack your prey in the power of the Holy Spirit. In Amos 3 verse 8, we read, "The lion has roared, who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken, who can but prophesy?" When God speaks, who can but only keep quiet? Amen. We have to speak the word of God. The line of Judah has long been a symbol of bravery, nobility, and strength. Now we know that the line of Judah is Jesus Christ. To walk with lions describes the seven spiritual principles of the lion: self-reliance, loyalty, fellowship, willingness to care, unconditional love, courage, and determination. By aspiring to these qualities, individuals can learn to live with a greater sense of purpose, community, and meaning. And that is what it is all about. God has placed us in a community, that we have a purpose from Him, and that we will bring a meaning to people's lives. The lion, being a sun symbol, like Jesus, represents the light of the world, but is also the great destroyer of darkness, bringing light back into the world. The prophecy of the coming of the Lord to judge the world as the Lion of Judah is clear all through Revelation 5 from verse 1 to 5. And aren't we the light of the earth? That when we walk into a room or into a community, we bring the light and it disperses the darkness. Surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets. The lion has roared, who will not fear? The sovereign Lord has spoken. Who can but prophesy? The power of the roar of a lion. It reminds me of an intercessor and a worshiper. Now, this was so absolutely amazing to me to know that studies have shown that the roar of a lion can be heard up to 5 miles away. It is the loudest roar of any cat, reaching up to 114 decibels, and it announces the presence of this king of the beasts. It leaves no doubt in the minds of all living creatures within earshot that the king is present. And just envision yourself being God's intercessor, being his watchman on the wall. And you open your mouth and you speak out. It is like it's like a volcanic eruption that goes into the atmosphere. And all that hear your voice speaking God's word, interceding, everybody is on standby and the enemy is running away. As we know, Judah is one of the 12 tribes of Israel, and Judah means praise. With that in mind, let's see what scriptural points as it relates to the power and purpose of high praise. So when we worship, we bring high praise to our God. And when we bring him into earshot, if I can say that, it magnifies his name, and all demons and all spiritual beings in the demonic realm has to bow down. They cannot stand in front of a praise that we bring to our Lord Jesus the King. For in Psalm 22 verse 3 it says, yes, you are holy, you who are enthroned upon the praises of Israel. So what does praise do? It sanctifies the atmosphere around us. It's just amazing to know that when we praise, it sanctifies the atmosphere. Praise is also the way into his presence. Praise establishes a highway that releases the visitation of his presence. Praise is a garment of the Spirit. Through the exchange of the cross, God gives us garments of praise for the garments of heaviness. Praise is a weapon of spiritual war. Praise is a spiritual warfare weapon, a means of deliverance from the strongholds of darkness. I believe that the Lion of Judah is arising in this hour to call forth the greatest harvest of souls in modern church history. Let us proclaim, let the lion roar. Let us allow the lion to roar through our mouths as we praise and as we bring a garment of praise to him and acknowledge him as our king, the Lion of Judah, that we can truly know he truly is the only king of the heavens and the earth. There is none other. Thank you so much, Angelina. Bless you.
Thank you, Erica. So here, Gospel for Grampian listeners, our beautiful Erica wants to be remembered as a mother to the nations through intercession and prophetic inspiration, where she sees it as a symbolism of the Lion of Judah roar that pulls down the strongholds of the enemy and brings God's will on the earth. Wonderful, wonderful, beautiful Erica. Talk to us, Shanaz. How would you like to leave your legacy behind?
Thank you, beautiful Angelina. Good day to our Gospel for Grampian listeners. Just that you are well, that you will receive this message well, that you will be inspired, that you will feel that you are loved, knowing that Abba Father is watching over you this day. Thank you so much to our beautiful Erica. I got so excited when she spoke about the Lion of Judah that also represents the light of this world, that comes and demolishes all darkness. I got so excited because when I was reflecting upon this topic, I truly felt that this is how I would love to be remembered by everyone that I interact with, whoever I touch their lives, that I would be remembered by the light of Jesus, the light of Jesus shining through my life. I'm reminded of the scripture in John chapter 8, verse 12. It says, where Jesus spoke, he says, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And I truly believe that where light comes, it illuminates, it makes clear, it gives you vision, it gives you purpose, it gives you direction. I can just imagine when one walks into a room and it's totally dark, but the moment you switch on the light, you can identify all the objects in the space. And so too, this light that Jesus is, the light of Jesus in my life, this is truly how I want to be remembered. Whenever I engage, encounter any person, any individual, whether it's through the corporate world, my family, my loved ones, my friends, that I am the person that's bringing the light of Jesus into their company. And you know, when light is, it brings about a bit of warmth, and it brings about calmness as well. So this is who I want to be, representing Jesus Christ, the light of this world, that when you encounter me, that you will feel the calmness of Jesus, the light, the love, the warmth, that when you experience my contact with you, that you will realize that Jesus Christ is alive, that, you know, he demonstrated his love for us in such a beautiful way that we do not have to suffer or slowly die a death full of sin, but have everlasting life. Because he came and he brought forth light into this world. He took upon all the darkness so that you and I can experience an eternal light, that we never have to walk in darkness. I think about so many people that potentially suffer from very traumatic experiences where they have gone into a state of loneliness. But when light comes, it brings joy, it brings peace, and it brings calmness. This is who our Lord and Savior is. And I truly pray that Abba Father will give me the strength, the ability to carry forth his light into this world. Thank you, beautiful Angelina.
Wow, I love what you are saying. The Bible says we ought to be the salt and the light, or else we do not have any effectiveness. As you can hear, Gospel for Grampian listeners, both Erica and our beautiful Shanaz are asking God to be a total surrendered vessel, where they're not asking for something for themselves, but all about revealing the line of Judah to the nations and the light of God to the nations. My beautiful mom, how would you like the world to remember you?
As a person who really believes in the Lord and trusts him, that no matter what we go through, when you call upon the name of our Lord Jesus, he's always there to lift you up, to give you the desire to talk about him, to share the moments of joy and laughter. He takes away our sadness and he makes us to be the best of all. And I just want to say thank you, Lord Jesus, for your love and joy, and not forgetting that God never leaves us, nor he forsakes us, because he's there always to lift us up. And we give him all the praises, the glory. No matter what you feel right now, brothers, sisters, I believe God has a special moment for each one of us. He gives us a word every morning, and before we go to bed, he gives us a thing to desire, what we must remember, what the Lord has done for us. Not forgetting, he's always there to lift us up. And we just want to say, you've got all the praise and glory, for his goodness and mercy never comes to an end. He's there to lift us up, no matter what the situation is. Our Lord Jesus lifts us up in every way. We give him all the praise and glory.
Thank you, beautiful mom. So mom's saying she wants to be the woman that believed, just like Abraham believed and it counted unto him righteous. My mom wants to be remembered as the woman who believed in God. And it was because of her believing in God and her praying like Erica and interceding for her children that I could be a radio person ministering the gospel. Who would think that? Being backslided, rebellious, your intercession had saved my life. So Erica, intercession is so imperative in saving children's lives, because I was a product of my mom's intercession. How do I want to be remembered? I want to be remembered as Angelina, the daughter who preserved the Christian nation through empowerment, inspiration, and getting rid of all evil practices from Christian environments. Just like Josiah, he got rid of all the idolatry, witchcraft, and everything wicked that the Christian nation had done in Israel, and he reinstituted the laws of God. And that is how I want to be remembered. Like you, my friend Chanaz and Erica, that are emphasizing the importance of the roar of the Lion of Judah in this end time and being the light of the world in this end time. I want to get rid of all the wickedness, because there is just so much of wickedness out there that our people are losing their light. They are losing their fervor for God. The Bible says that many will grow cold and many will fall away from the faith. So with us standing together, being the light, being the Lion of Judah, and getting rid of the evil practices, we will be able to preserve the Christian nation. We want to shine the light so many will come to the truth and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, because that is what Jesus did. He died on the cross so that everybody who believes in him shall be saved. Everybody becomes a heir of salvation, the seed of Abraham, when we receive Jesus Christ as Lord. And as our role today, our duty on air is to be able to encourage our listeners to not grow cold in faith. And so our inspiration today is bringing about the big five important aspects of keeping our fires light, our fires of faith burning, and not letting it die in this very dark world. And I'm reminded, Shanaz and Erica, of what Paul wrote a letter to Titus. And he was saying to Titus, this is how the elders need to behave and the church needs to behave in this times, to make sure that there is order in the Christian nation. And he talks about it in Titus. He says, dear Titus, this is Paul saying to Titus, dear Titus, a true son in common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. For this reason, I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. He goes on to tell Titus how to appoint the elders and what to look for in the qualities of elders. And today, as we on work on air, our job is to set in order the things that Christians need to live like. In Titus 2 verse 11, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that we must deny ungodliness and worldly lust, and we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify us for himself, his own special people, zealous for good works. So, Gospel for Grampian listeners, we on air are talking to born-again Christians, and we want to encourage you, because the Word of God says that we must speak these things. We must exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. And on air, Gospel for Grampian has given us the mandate to administer the authority of the Word of God to you. So today, Erica, myself, and Shanaz are going to encourage you with the big five lessons and advice that the Word of God directs us to. And we want to use Paul's inspiration in the book of 1 Corinthians 3 to encourage our listeners today, because he is talking to the born-again Christians, he's talking to the church, and he's talking to the church leaders. And he's saying there's five big things that he speaks about in this one chapter to encourage the church to keep their light burning. We want to speak to you to be the church of Philadelphia, because God talks to the seven churches and he says, these are the rewards for you if you align yourself And so the best place to be in is the faithful church. So we want to encourage you, our Gospel for Grampian listeners, to become the faithful church. Five elements we speak about. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1, the first thing that Paul talks about is mere infants. And he says, we need to grow up. Spiritual growth is important. He says, brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, you are worldly. Are you not acting like mere humans? And so he says, for one says, I follow Paul, and another follow Apollos. Are you not mere human beings? He's talking about, why are we following people? Why are we not following the word of God? Why are we living like the world? You know, Erica and Shanaz, the word of God says that the spirit of a man is righteous, but the soul and the flesh must renew themselves to conform to that righteousness. Jesus gave us our spirit man life, but our soul and our body needs to align to that righteousness. We have to practice that righteousness. That is why majority of the New Testament talks about renewing and living according to that lifestyle. We cannot behave like mere infants as born again Christians for the rest of our Christian life. What are your thoughts on that, Erica?
Thank you, precious Angelina. Yes, as I was listening to you, it is just amazing how God speaks to us. He took me to Revelation 5, verse 5. Then one of the elders said to me, stop weeping. See, the line of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has won, has overcome and conquered. He can open the scroll and break its seven seals. Now, the lion in dreams and visions in the Bible, as well as in modern literature, is a symbol of the power of God within us, working through the unconscious. The story of Daniel in the lion's den, the need to wrestle with God in the unconscious to find one's true life. Remember, we are talking about spiritual growth that is important. The lion is both noble and beautiful and brutal and deadly because, listen to this, he represents the need to die to one's lower nature in order to be reborn into one's spiritual one. So I want to encourage and say, stop weeping, because the lion of the tribe of Judah has overcome and conquered. And because of him, we can grow spiritually and know how important it is to die to the flesh, because then only, and then only, we can live in peace, we can live in victory, and we can know that we are safe. Thank you so much, Angelina.
Thank you, Erica. Do you want to add to that, Shanaz?
Yes, thank you for that, beautiful Erica and Angelina. I think, you know, when we think about how do we grow spiritually, The very first commandment that we learn, that we should love the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. The scripture in Mark 12, verses 30, means that with our entire being, we have to love the Lord. So there is no place for sin, because when we love the Lord with our heart, it means, like you spoke about, Angelina, Forgiving. There's no time for us to bear or hold grudges in our heart. So we cannot love the Lord when we still have grudges in our hearts. And when we are leaning on our own strength, means that we are discarding the work of the cross. It means that we are still leaning on our own human understanding. But when we love the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul and all our mind, we are totally dependent on him, and therefore we won't allow sin to come into our bodies. We won't be able to use our bodies to sin against our Father, and that will cause us to grow. I think sometimes we overlook the very basic steps in our journey with Abba Father, the simplest of loving the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, and all our mind. If we constantly keep that command in front of mind, then we will not be able to fall into sin, because we're constantly thinking about the Abba Father, submitting unto Him. When we're engaging with others and suddenly strife or anger stirs up in our hearts and in our minds, this word must remind us that we cannot bear grudges. And that causes us to grow in Abba Father, because we become good stewards of what Abba Father gives unto us. So I pray that the listeners will be encouraged, and that they will constantly think about Abba Father, the work of the cross that's already been completed. All we have to do is submit unto Abba Father. Thank you, beautiful Angelina.
Thank you, Shanaz and Erica. I love what Shanaz was saying. If I love somebody, I will do anything for them. Anything. Even if I've never done it before and I don't like doing it, because I love them, I will align myself to like that because I love them and that's what pleases them. And when we understand and love God by having a relationship with Him, our lives will naturally want to align to please Him, because we know He's a loving dad and His house rules are there to protect us. So Gospel for Grandparent listeners, apply the Word of God as a standard for your life. The rules are there to protect you. God didn't get rid of the commandments. He's now put it in our hearts so that we can walk in it. And the grace of God helps us to walk in it without any problems, because God's grace enables us to reject and resist the things of this world. If you take the grace of God, that's why it's called the amazing grace, you will be able to walk in righteousness. If you don't apply the grace of God, you will not be able to resist the things of the flesh. So that's the first thing Paul is talking to the Christians. He's saying, grow up spiritually, then you won't fall into the temptations of the flesh. This next thing he talks about is we need to build for eternity. He says here, what after all is Apollos and Paul? Only servants through you, through whom you came to believe in the Lord. And he says, he planted, Apollos watered, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything but only God, who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they each will be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are all co-workers in God's service. You are a God's field and God's building. By the grace of God given to us, we laid the foundation as wise builders, and someone is building on what we building on. But each one of us build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one who already laid it, which is Jesus Christ. And he says that in the day of judgment, God is going to test each one of us building that have built. And when our works have been tested, if it is burnt up, we will suffer loss. But if it is saved, then we will get a reward for it. So every single one of us that are born again, we have to build on God's foundation. If we don't build on God's foundation, we build on any other foundation. When it comes to judgment day, God, Jesus is coming back with a reward for each one of our works. When he tests us in the fire, if it's not built on the Jesus foundation, we ain't gonna get our reward. So I want you to listen, Gospel for Grandparent listeners. The thought of building on Jesus foundation is not just for pastors that are in full-time ministry. When I think about this, I think about Esther, who was the queen of Persia. I think about David, who was the king of Israel. I think about Jacob, who was a businessman. I think about Abraham, who was a businessman. None of these men who built on the foundation. Abraham had a covenant with God to bring the nation of God into existence. All of these men were not full-time in the ministry. And I think it's important that our Gospel for Grampian listeners understand that the call of God is not just for people who serve full-time in ministry. It is every single person that has been born again, because Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do the good works that he established for us to do before the time. That means everybody has got a plan in God's kingdom. And at judgment day, God's going to look at that plan and he's going to look at what we built, and he is going to test what we built according to that plan, according to that building on Jesus' foundation. So we all have an eternal reward. And if we don't get our rewards, it's because we misunderstood our plan and purpose in life and we're building on the wrong things. Please encourage the listeners today, Erica.
Yes. While you were speaking and building on the foundation of Jesus Christ, it just came to mind that he is the cornerstone. And being the cornerstone, he is the strength of the foundation that we're building on. And I just want to share John 14, verse 2 and 3 and 23. It says here, in my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I am going away to prepare a place for you. And when I go and make ready a place for you, I will come back again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Jesus answered, if a person really loves me, he will keep my word, he will obey my teaching, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. When Jesus, the mighty Lion of Judah, died and rose again, he eternally defeated sin, death, hell, and the devil. Jesus now lives and stands in eternal victory, which he graciously extends to all of those who place their faith in him as Savior and Lord. And I believe that as we keep our focus on him who is the Lion of Judah, we build for eternity because we place our faith in him as our Savior and Lord. And that is the foundation we can stand on. Even when we go through life, so many times it's very difficult. I believe that in the time that we're living in is not an easy time, everything that's going on. But I believe that the foundation that we build on is for eternal and that we can stand strong in this time of difficulties and knowing that he's the one that is the eternal one that takes us by the hand and leads us on this foundation that never shakes, but that it is built with a true cornerstone. It's just amazing how to know that God, our Father, Jesus, our healer, our Savior, our Deliverer, and Holy Spirit, who is our Paracletos, teaching us and correcting us, three in one, how they encompass us in everything in our whole life. Thank you, Angelina.
Amen, amen. Encourage us, beautiful Shanaz.
I'd like to say to the listeners, you know that Jesus, as beautiful Erica was speaking, that Jesus already signed a contract. This is what the late Reinhard Bonnke said, that each of us has already been contracted in the word of the Lord, according to John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, so whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so this is the promise, that we will have everlasting life. But this agreement, this contract, needs two parties. Jesus has already done his part in this agreement. He has conquered the darkness. Beautiful Erica spoke about the sin that Jesus has overcome so that you and I can be without sin. So we don't have to struggle in this world because he's already overcome the darkness. That we can experience the light, the everlasting life of Christ Jesus, the hope of glory. He comes so that he can inspire us, give us hope. In such a dark time in this world, we can still find hope through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But this contract, this agreement, requires your participation. We have to willingly engage in this relationship with our Father, accepting the beautiful sacrifice of the life of Jesus Christ. And then Jesus also says, he does not leave us without any hope. Beautiful Erica spoke about the Paracletos. That is the Holy Spirit that Jesus left for us. We have a friend that sticketh closer than any other brother. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Sometimes we meet people in our lives and they give up on us. But we have the Holy Spirit that will never leave you. Thank you, beautiful Angelina.
Amen, amen. So you have got all the tools, beautiful Gospel for Grampian listeners, to grow in the Lord, be strong, and build for eternity. I love this one. This one, Paul is talking to the leaders and the people that are boasting about the leaders, about the servants. And he says here, stop boasting about your leader so that they can maintain humility as God's servants. He says here that God catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows that the thoughts of the wise are futile. So then, no more boasting about human leaders. All things are yours, whether it is Paul or Apollos or Caiaphas or the world or life or death or the present or the future, are all yours, and you are Christ and Christ is of God. You know, I'm thinking about the ladies of a very well-known minister in the early 1900s. The anointing of God was so great over his life that there was just so much of miracles that were happening in his life. And then his congregation started praising and boasting about work in his life. So instead of giving God the glory, they kept on giving the gentleman the glory. Eventually started telling the minister of God, you are the Elijah of the time. You are the Elijah. Instead of seeing that the Holy Spirit is the one that is at work in him and through him, they started making it about him. And as a result, he now started believing the praises of the congregation that it is him. And he then ended up acting like Elijah, walking like Elijah, dressing like Elijah, looking like Elijah. Eventually, he became disabled and he passed away because he got crippled. And that is the danger of boasting about men. The Bible says, you will not steal my glory. We cannot steal the glory of God. We are just carriers of the glory of God. And so much of people in this time that we are living in are looking to follow man and man's ways rather than God's ways. That's why I love what you were saying, Erica, being the light. What's the light? Who's the light? Jesus. Encourage us, Shanaz. How do we help our listeners to stop putting their eyes on the people, but see that the people are just the carrier of the glory of God, to pass God's glory onto them? Because God has given the fivefold ministry to ministers to minister to us, the congregation. But those ministers are not God. They're just carriers of his word.
Thank you, beautiful Angelina. To our listeners today, I'm reading from Proverbs chapter 13, and from verse 10 it says, by pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well advised is wisdom. So the word of God is telling us that we need to guard our hearts, because when we have pride in our hearts, strife will follow. That is a fruit that will be demonstrated. So when we start to encourage others to be boastful, we are actually causing them to fall into strife. And the Word of God tells us that we should rather be well advised in wisdom. And wisdom comes from Abba Father. We need to ensure that we guard our hearts, because Abba Father is the one who must receive all the glory and the honor. We are only but part of his vineyard, and we need to be part in this vine, because we are but just the branches. And when he prunes us, we must be able to humbly submit unto Abba Father. We are here to elevate the name of Jesus and not elevate the name of a man or of a human being. All glory and honor must be unto Abba Father. I like what the other portion of scripture says, that our lives should be like a sweet smelling aroma unto Abba Father. We should not be seeking attention for ourselves. We are here to bring glory to Abba Father. When Jesus was on the earth, he said, when you see me, you see my Father. So he constantly brought attention to Abba Father. Even though Jesus as a person had his own authority here on this earth, he never took away from Abba Father. He submitted unto Abba Father. And this is the example that we have to follow after Jesus. Everything he did was according to his Father. And when we saw Jesus, we knew that he represented Abba Father. So too are we, children of the Lord. We are sojourning through this earth, but everything that we do must glorify Abba Father. Thank you, beautiful Angelina.
I love it. I love it. I love what you're saying. And I love the example you use, because the Father always glorified Jesus and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus and Jesus glorifies the Father. None of the Godhead glorifies himself. I love it. And I believe that's why the Bible says that we must esteem others more highly than ourselves. That's how we protect ourselves from pride, right? Erica, I have a question for you on this section, on this fourth of the big five. It says here, Paul says in verse 16, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is sacred, and you together are the temple. So he's talking here about we need to have respect for our bodies. And I'm thinking about a church service that I attended once. And a few times after that, one of the church members was really upset because they now were overcoming pornography and, you know, lustful things. And they were not happy because they went to a service, and at the service, the praise and worship leaders were dressed in a vulgar way. And they started complaining, and they were quite angry now, because instead of them having to focus on worshiping the Lord, the way the leaders were dressed affected them focus, because now they're overcoming the lust of the flesh and now going to church. Now they, right in front of their face, they've got leaders ushering the praise and worship in the presence of the Lord, but dressed in a vulgar way. What are your thoughts about the importance of respecting our bodies, because we are representative of Christ and we are the temple of God? Surely in the temple of God, in the church, you don't see anything vulgar and defiling. Why then do we allow ourselves to be represented in that way?
Yes, thank you, precious Angelina. While you were talking, the story in the Bible came to mind, where Jesus came into the temple and the money changers were busy in the temple. Now, the temple at that stage was the building, but it just shows to me how Jesus really respected the building of where you would worship the Father. And today, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, our bodies are so important that the Lord calls them temples. Of our bodies are holy. Because our bodies are important, our Father in heaven wants us to take good care of them. He knows that we can be happier, better people if we are healthy. Now, the thing is that I believe that when we dress inappropriately, I believe there is also some sort of hurt in the people. And maybe it is they're craving for some attention or affirmation because of lack thereof in their own lives, maybe important people in their own lives. You know, we can't generalize that. I mean, there are a few things that could be like that. But the thing is that if I know that my body is so important to the Lord, then I would take the best care as possible to my body. Not only health-wise, but also the way I dress, so that I can be presentable and honor God. Because if I dress myself in a way that honors God, it brings an anointing upon my life, an anointing that glorifies Jesus. And you know, when the anointing is released, people are being drawn to Jesus. People will see Jesus. People would want to come to Jesus. And that is what it is all about. Because of our bodies being the temple of the Holy Spirit, he operates in and through us. And I truly believe that it is very important for us to be very aware and really take intentional care of how we dress, because our lives don't belong to us anymore. Our bodies don't belong to us. It all belongs to the Lord Jesus, because he died for us. He is the one that rose again. He is the one that came to bring us victory. And that is the only way we can also acquire victory, is to be obedient to him and to be willing to represent him in a manner. And I remember just a short while ago, Angelina, you mentioned that we are like sweet fragrance in the presence of God. How can we be a sweet fragrance if our attire is not glorifying God? We need to be a sweet fragrance in everything that we do and how we act and what we do with our bodies. Thank you so much, Angelina.
Thank you, beautiful Erica. Shanaz, as a pastor, how would you encourage our beautiful listeners about dressing appropriately in terms of respecting their bodies in your church? Because you run a church. What would you encourage from a church perspective for your congregation?
Thank you, beautiful Angelina. I'd like to read from the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 5. And it says, "For those who love according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who love according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his." So the Word of God tells us here that we have to set our minds on the things of the Spirit and no longer on the flesh. We spoke about maturing in Christ Jesus. And we can only mature when we understand, as beautiful Erica said, our bodies become the temple of the Holy Spirit. We no longer go in the, like what Moses did in the old book of the Old Testament, where they physically went to the outer court and then the inner court. But we ourselves are now the temple of God. And where the Holy Spirit dwells, we have to ensure that our physical bodies is pleasing unto Abba Father. We should be able to be led by the Spirit of the living God, because we are no longer doing the old things of this world. Once we are born again, the way we dress, the way we talk, should reflect the light of this world, which is Jesus Christ. It should not reflect our own character, our own nature, but it should reflect who we are in Christ Jesus. And I think the scripture says it so beautifully, because we will be in conflict with whatever Father wants to do in our lives. That means we don't truly love the Lord, because we're not willing to submit our ways unto him, meaning that we don't want to submit how we dress. Yes, each of us have individual personalities, and there's certain differences about our personalities, but when we are in Christ Jesus, we are no longer ourselves. We don't love, we don't talk as though we love for ourselves. We are now spirit man that is united with Christ Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is here to teach us, to guide us, so that we do not entice others. We do not become a stumbling block to our brothers and sisters, but we are able to inspire others. How will others know that we love the Lord when we do not change our outward appearance? If I stay the same, I do everything exactly the same, then how can I demonstrate that I have been saved and delivered and healed by the Lord Jesus Christ? That means I'm still pleasing my carnal flesh with my desires. I think of the same scripture again, Angelina. If we love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind and body, that means I need to sacrifice my desires, submit unto the Lord, from a loving perspective. If I love the Lord, if I love my beautiful sisters Erica and Angelina. That means that I will not be a stumbling block unto you. And so we need to become sensitive and in tune with the Holy Spirit. And we can only do so when we are in relationship with Abba Father, when we switch off our carnal minds. Thank you, beautiful Angelina.
I love where this conversation is going. Yes, absolutely. Everything we're talking about, the big five, comes back to us loving the Lord with all our spirit, soul, mind, and body. Because if we cannot do that, then we cannot submit to the big five. I totally agree. The last of the big five, fifth of the fifth, is the most important one, godly wisdom. And I love what Paul says here. He says, do not deceive yourselves. If any of you think you are wise by the standards of this age, you should become fools so that you become wise. For the wisdom of the world is foolishness in God's sight. And wisdom, according to the root word, is Sophia, which means insight, skill, human or divine intelligence. And it comes from the word sophistication. Sophia means clear wisdom, meaning clarity. Wisdom means clear, clarity, divine clarity, divine clearness, divine intelligence. Paul is saying our human insight must become unclear if we want to understand the wisdom of God. Exactly what Shanaz is saying. We have to walk in the spirit if we need to understand the wisdom of God, because the carnal mind is foolish to the things of the spirit. And because divine wisdom cannot be comprehended by the carnal mind, therefore the wisdom of the world is crafty and futile. Talk to us on that, Shanaz. Godly wisdom, the importance of that.
I love the scripture, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And sometimes we think that knowledge is gaining intellectual knowledge, but this is speaking to our spirit man. This is speaking directly to those hidden secrets, the mysteries which can only be found in the word of the Lord. It is not a normal intellectual gaining knowledge through intellectual studies, like going for a course to build up your intellectual capacity. But this is through gaining knowledge by fearing God, by reverencing Him. It is understanding that the Lord is the one who has created everything, that He knows the beginning from the end from the beginning. And it is through understanding the instruction, which is the Word of God, where we gain this wisdom, where we gain instruction from Abba Father. When we fear God, this particular scripture says, this is where knowledge begins. I love what you said about Paul, because this scripture just speaks and edifies again. And the Word of God is so amazing that we have different authors, but we have Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, that has inspired each of these authors. And the scripture has this silver line, there's a constant affirmation of the Word of God. The foundation and the source of it, with all knowledge, is vain and useless. It will not be able to grow us spiritually. It is not an intellectual knowledge that will cause us to understand the things of Abba Father. But it is through the Spirit of the living God that we can gain knowledge and wisdom. It is through understanding those deep secrets that can only be found when we are in relationship with Abba Father through the Holy Spirit, who is able to reveal the Word of God to us. This salvation is foolishness to some people, but to us believers, it is life. And it's only through understanding and studying the Word of God that we are able to establish this beautiful wisdom that we can gain through the Holy Spirit. Thank you, beautiful Angelina.
Thank you, wonderful Shanaz. So, Gospel for Grampian listeners, you've got it. The big five of a Christian quality life. One, you need to grow spiritually. Two, you need to build for eternity. Do not limit yourself with whatever you're doing to earth value, because your life is for eternity. So build for eternity. Three, stop boasting about your leaders. Start boasting about God. Four, you need to have respect for your bodies. Five, most importantly, godly wisdom. As we close today, Erica, I ask you to encourage the women and to please close in this show.
Thank you, precious Angelina. Yes, I would like to encourage all women, all listeners of Gospel for Grampian, that the line of Judah symbolizes power, wisdom, and justice, leading his people with authority. The line of Judah teaches us the importance of perseverance and resilience in the face of life's challenges. With the heart of a lion, the spirit of Judah inspires us to be fearless in pursuing our dreams. Now, there are several characteristics the Bible emphasizes. It represents strength, majesty, and leadership. The lion is the symbol of a ruler, a king, and often a very fierce and powerful one. Never forget that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, our Lord Jesus Christ, is the Lion of Judah. And he is, at times, fierce, but a powerful one, because he is fierce over the enemy, but he is powerful in our lives to bring us into a victorious lifestyle. As long as we have our eyes fixed on him, our gaze fixed on Jesus Christ, we will be able to face life's challenges, and we will soar like an eagle. I want to bless all the listeners of Gospel for Grampian with this one thing, that the Lord Jesus loves you so much. He has given his life for you, and he has placed you in a victorious place. If you just put your hands in his and trust him with all that you have, and know, because he loved us first, we are able to love, and we can love one another. Thank you so much. God bless you all. Thank you, precious Angelina.
Gospel for Grampian, we love you.